Now, when Catherine Corliss started researching the mother and baby home in Tuam in County Galway, little did she suspect that it would end with the discovery of 800 children up to the age of 9 being buried in a mass grave. That's exactly what happened as her research took her deeper and deeper into this particularly sorry tale. Catherine, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you for joining us. What prompted your search initially?
I was doing a bit of research on the mother and baby home, first of all, and I wasn't expecting it to turn out this way. Well, first of all, just to brief you on this, on the story of the mother and baby home in Tuam. It opened in 1925 and was run by the Bonsecours sisters, and it closed down in 1961. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole place, it was an area of 7 acres, and it was enclosed entirely with an 8-foot wall. It was originally the old the workhouse, actually. It was built in 1840. Now, when the sisters left, the whole place turned into a wilderness. It wasn't used anymore. And it was in 1972 they decided to knock down the mother and baby home because it was too dilapidated to do anything with it. Now, they built a housing estate then right where in these 7 acres. And when I started doing the research, somebody mentioned it to me that there was a little graveyard there. Did I know about that? Well, I had never heard of it. They thought it was just a little grave where maybe a few unbaptized babies might have been buried. And it was only on investigation and on talking to people who moved into the area, they said it was much bigger than that, that they had heard that there were children there, not unbaptized babies, but babies and children. So I decided then to research it a bit further, and I contacted the registration office in Galway, the birth, death, marriages place, and I was absolutely astounded when they came back with the story that there was a book full of deaths in that home. And I asked them, would it be possible to get the name of all the children who had died? So between us, we came up with a figure of 796 young babies, toddlers, children up to the age of 9, who were buried in that area, in that mass grave. And I couldn't understand how there was no cross or no, it wasn't marked as a graveyard at all. It was just a wilderness for a long time.
And, so Tuam people, Catherine, would just refer to it as the home. It was where very often a young single mother would be kept to have her baby. Is that right?
That's right, yes. It was the nuns called it St. Mary's Orphanage. They did indeed take in destitute children and orphans, but it was mainly a place for unmarried mothers. The unmarried mother at the time was ostracised by clergy, society and neighbours, and the only place they could go was into a mother and baby home. Now, the mother and baby home in Tuam covered the whole area of County Galway and Mayo. So at all times, there was at least over 100 mothers there and maybe up to 200 children. This was most of the time. So a lot of those children a lot of them were very delicate. And a lot, the 1940s was the worst decade for deaths. Up to 60 died maybe in 1944. That was the worst year of all.
But this is a 36-year period, and we're looking at the best part of 800.
Yes.
800 deaths. That seems to be a ridiculously high figure.
But that seems to be the story around Ireland. You will have heard of the film Philomena and Bessborough.
Yes.
And the Castle Pollard. All the death rates, they're very, very high. They're way above the national average for children. Because I think those homes were overcrowded in the first place, and the cots were probably on top of each other, and there was no hope. If a disease came in at all, it was rampant. And there was very little medical care. There was no professional medical care on hand. There was one doctor, one Tuam doctor, to cater for all those.
It took you to find it, Catherine, but in fairness, the issue wasn't hidden. The records were made and created, and of the 796, I was just looking through this earlier, there are deaths by malnutrition, measles, convulsions, tuberculosis, gastroenteritis and pneumonia. Do you suspect foul play at all?
I didn't come across that. No, I can't say that. I didn't come across that. I do think it was just too many overcrowding and just not proper medical care. No professional medical care at all. Just I think a lot of the nurses were just people who worked there and tried their best to mind the children.
So for you, Catherine, the tragedy is that these children are unmarked and unmourned.
That's right. That's right. That is the tragedy. First of all, the extent of the mass grave wasn't known. And we just felt in time it would be forgotten about again. It was actually A local couple who moved into the area looked after that little spot. The man, one of the couple, he built a little grotto himself out of his own pocket. It was only the kindness of a local couple that kept that graveyard neat and kept it like that, because nobody else cared.
And are the people of Tuam responding to your findings?
Not as much as I'd like. The funds are a little bit slow in coming in. We've managed to gain a deposit for the bronze plaques that we want. We want to name each and every child. We want to put their age and the date of death. And those plaques will be there for all time. Our aim is to make sure that this graveyard is not forgotten over time.
What about the local media? I mean, this story should be all over the country.
Well, I don't know. The impression I get is people just don't want to go there.
Why is that?
Because I don't know. Because maybe it's a bit of shame. They just don't want to go there.
Well, it was still open.
I
bet you there
are an answer for that.
There'll be older people who still remember it as the home.
Oh, they do. There are people around who remember the children well. They remember them well being walking down to school. It is said that they were segregated from the rest of the children. They were given one side of the classroom, and they were segregated. They weren't allowed mixed with the other children.
You see, maybe you're unearthing a hurt here that the community maybe doesn't want to face.
I think now you've said it, that could be a lot to do with it. It's bringing up maybe a bit of guilt in that. But some people are very good now. They want to know about it and they want to help.
But what could the ordinary people have done? I mean, this was back in a time, Catherine, when Ireland was large, you know, the Republic for sure, you know, the power of the priest was everything, the power
everything.
Of these institutional homes. You know, ordinary people could have done very little about that, or could they?
Well, I think they could. There is the odd one. Only the other day, I was talking to a woman who went in there, had her child, took out the child and brought her home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about 1954. Now, she would be one in a thousand.
And why couldn't young women, in most occasions, go in there, have the baby and go back to their families?
Because if they went in there, it would take £100. Now, that was a lot of money at that time. The nuns would ask for £100 for the woman's confinement. And very, very few families could afford to pay that.
And was there any state support
there was.
For the order?
Yes, I think it was £1 per head at the time in 1940s and 50s.
A pound a head...
For each mother and child.
For a day, a week?
I'm not sure about that. No, I can't say that. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Cheaper sense, I mean, as I say, you're probably still getting to grips with the story, as I imagine listeners to this programme are trying to get their heads around it as well.
There was no way that poor mother could go back to her family, because they were ostracised. It was the greatest... It was nearly criminal at the time.
So by her, as a young woman, being able to go back to her family... She was putting her child at a risk of becoming one of your statistics.
That's right. Oh, very, very much so. Very much so.
Incredible.
So the ones that got out were lucky.
Why do you feel so strongly about it, Catherine?
Because it's an injustice, a total injustice. And I hate to see anyone done wrong.
But you don't suspect foul play. It's unjust in what sense?
It's unjust that they were left there in a mass grave and just forgotten about. They were made little of in life. And they were it just crowns it, that they were just left there, forgotten about, in a wilderness. It would be still a wilderness, as I said, only for the kindness of that couple who took it upon themselves over for the last 30 years to look after that little plot.
Well, what would you like to do then? And how much money have you to do it?
We have paid the deposit of €2,000 at the moment.
And is this for a Christian cross or what? Or
it's for the plaques.
We're
putting up four bronze plaques. It will take four plaques to name all the children.
And a little two-dimensional sculpture. Like a piece of stonework or something?
It's going up on the old original wall that's surrounding the graveyard.
And what will those plaques say?
Four of them will name all the children, and there will be a little one, another plaque then to give a few lines of history of the home, what it was. And that those children died in the home and they're buried here, and there will be a little sculpture of a child or something like that as well. So all in all, we're talking up to €10,000. We need to make a little pathway into the graveyard as well.
So you
won't be overgrown again.
You've only got a fifth of what you need.
That's all. That's all at the moment. Yeah.
And are you online? Are you campaigning online? Can listeners be directed toward you?
We have there are various Facebook pages.
Oh, yeah.
Well, can I give you the name of my own page?
Of course you can.
Yeah. It's the Mother Baby Home Research, Tuam.
Mother, just...
Mother Baby.
Is it? Yeah?
Mother Baby Home.
Yeah.
Research, Tuam.
Research.
Yes, that's Tuam. My own face, yes.
Tuam's T-U-A-M.
Yes.
Yeah. Catherine, you know what? It takes sometimes good eggs like you to start things
yes.
rolling. Have you sensed opposition to your journey?
Not quite. No, there was a little bit. We approached the Tuam Town Council. It was eventually they gave us €2,000, which was good. But we presented our project to them at one of their meetings, and it took a good while now. But they did give it to us eventually, and they gave us the deposit. First of all, there was a bit of an objection that you couldn't go putting up the names of all these children to just put up a general plaque, and I said no. I said that the least these children deserve is a name, that they had no dignity in life and they're getting it now. The least might have is a name over them.
Why would they object to the names?
They were afraid of reproach from families or something like that.
I suppose
if
that surname comes up on the plaque and I'll use your surname, if there's a Corliss on the plaque and you're a Corliss that lives around the corner these days.
That's right, it was something like that.
Yeah.
But I said there's no addresses going up anyway, I said there's headstones all over the cemeteries in Ireland, everywhere, so that's no argument. So they backed down on that.
Well, Catherine, will you keep us posted? It's a story I think that listeners would probably want us to return to when maybe your funding gets a bit
fantastic.
Further.
And as well as that, Mark, I want to say throughout our project, people have contacted me, and they have asked me, is my aunt on your list, or is my uncle on your list, or is my brother, do you know anything? And I have been able to help people. I have been able to reunite some families. So if there's anyone out there who have any connection with the Tuam home, I would be more than delighted to help them. I do all this voluntarily.
But I'm sure listeners like myself are one. I mean, this is just one in Tuam.
Yes.
I wonder how many others there might be.
Well, I can imagine the same thing happened all over Ireland, because all these institutions, they were run exactly the same. I found out that now from looking at other sites and just talking to other people. It was the same regime. It was exactly the same. So I'm quite sure they would have buried them on the grounds.
Just sometimes even without coffins.
But these children were all buried without coffins.
Just
they were only buried in shrouds.
Almost like in a pit.
Yes, it was a pit actually. It was just one massive pit, and they were just all put down there in shrouds.
You can imagine, you know, one child being interred where the previous one was interred.
That's right.
And the gruesome
just on top of each other. And
the gruesome possibilities. Let's be blunt. That the digger might have faced there.
That's right. That's right. It's just horrific. So that's why I felt this is the least we can do. It's about all we can do to try and heal whatever hurt there is in families.
A caller wants to know: would a family have brought their daughter to a home?
That would be the usual, yes.
No. To a home that was far away from their hometown. Some of these girls in Tuam were Limerick girls or Dublin girls.
Well, it happens sometimes, but I find now, mainly from my research, that the mothers are from County Galway or from County Mayo.
They're from the area.
Basically, yes. It could be an odd time. You know, you could get someone from outside that area, but it was basically for this area, for these two counties.
Do you know what? You deserve tremendous credit. I think it's
well, thank you very much.
Fair to
we're
say.
A very good committee. Now, they're like-minded people. There's 10 of us. And we meet every 2 weeks. And that's our aim, to get those packs up and to get those names up.
Decent people just trying to do a decent thing.
Yes.
We'll talk,
thank you,
Catherine.
Thank you very much for giving us the space. And if there's anyone out there that needs any information, we have all the information. They can contact me.
We'll happily put anybody. Sometimes we get discreet phone calls when we talk to
That's
people
fine.
Like you, and we'll happily put them in touch with you.
That'd be fantastic.
Catherine, you and I will talk again down the line. Thank you indeed.
Thank you very much, Mark. God bless. Bye bye.
Thanks indeed. The researcher and author, Catherine Corliss, there. Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. Corliss, C-O-R-L-E-S-S. More importantly, that Facebook page is Mother Baby Home Research Tuam. We'll maybe get the team to try and find that specific page, and we'll put it through our traffic online. There might be people listening. You never know. I'm never surprised who's listener who picks up these things online. And a journey may be needed to Tuam for families, even in this part of the world. I don't know. Just between 1925 and 61, she's unearthed the records of 796 children who died of things like measles, gastroenteritis. You know, that's like something you see in a famine account. Pneumonia. Kids are not meant to die from that stuff. 712 66 522 is the number of this programme. If you're on our Facebook page, we'll update it later on, folks, as we're on air. Just obviously we're all hands to the pump here, but we'll do our best to manage a bit more traffic after the programme on our Facebook page, Mark Patterson Show.
BBC Radio Foyle with Mark Patterson.